Hey
Nope.
guys. Hey, welcome to episode 291 of the official podcast. Charlie, where are you at the moment?
I'm at the
Anything going on over there?
warehouse. Yeah, so I'm at the warehouse. I got a haircut. I'm sure the people on screen right
Whoa,
now are
what?
probably wondering, like, who is this new host? But it's just me with shorter hair.
Wait, how short did you go?
You're not going to believe this. I cut off an inch, a full
Whoa!
Inch. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What was the point?
Wow.
Dead, just to get
like
the dead.
Genuinely.
No, dead ends and split ends. Get them out of there.
He just needed a change up. He's been rocking that look for too long.
Yeah,
needs
just needed
something different.
Needed something a little different.
Yeah.
Does this promote a longer length, like a maximum longer length in the future by splitting off those dead ends or whatever? Can it grow
No.
even longer now?
No.
Or is that your limit?
I think I've reached my limit on hair growth, so I just keep the dead ends off.
That's a shame. What happens if you push through the dead ends? What happens then?
I don't know. You achieve enlightenment? I couldn't tell you.
What would it cost?
Probably start smelling.
What would it cost for you to actually just go back to how you used to do your hair, short and cut and all that?
I don't know. Danny actually did that today. So Danny,
oh,
I'm sure all of you know, had long hair, got all of it cut off today, and he went back to like really short hair.
Good for him.
How does it look?
Looks fine. It looks good.
I can't actually imagine Danny with short hair. I've only known him with long hair.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, okay, well, cool. Good. Thanks for the update. You went to the warehouse
well,
just
that,
for the haircut.
Hang on. He didn't answer my question. I asked what would it take for him to go back to his short hair.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd have to be like a lot of money. Like a lot, I think.
So just money, not like, I don't know, a mutual agreement or something else. Maybe like a... I don't know. Maybe you would make an entire village in Africa
agreement.
Smile. Yeah.
No, it's probably
the
just take a lot of...
Is the haircutter has to cut his own hair as well short?
Yeah, like a bed or something.
That'd probably
Does
just
it have
to
be money?
Money. Yeah, I can't think of anything else, like any other reason that would be motivational enough to go back to short hair.
Money specifically from the African village, though. They have to generate it. They have to come up with the funds.
The finest cow from that village, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Charlie. I'm happy that you finally pushed through it. I know that was a very stressful situation for you. You don't like touching your hair anymore, so
yeah,
it's
no,
good
it was
that
a,
you did it.
It was a little scary. I mean, it's noticeably shorter now. I mean, you know, I really don't look the same. You guys can't see it, but the video people can. They're like, wow, that's a different guy.
Who cut it? Did you do it?
No. So we're friends with some of the local barbers, and they come over every now and then. They like cut all our hair at the warehouse. It's really sweet.
they just take off one inch of you. What a waste of time for them.
No, well, yeah. I mean, they cut everyone else's hair, so I'm just kind of like their side act. And I'm exaggerating a bit. It was more like 2 inches-ish, it looks
Ooh.
Like. Two, maybe even 2.5.
If
Remind
you
us
at a barber shop, would they even charge you?
No, they'd probably just do it like during lunch break. Like, yeah, I got you. They'd do it just for a tip, I guess.
So you still prefer yourself with long hair, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so do you ever get annoyed or frustrated when people say that they like you better with short hair?
Not really, I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter. I get annoyed with long hair more than I did with short hair because it gets in the way a lot. But
yeah.
Overall, I think it's just like a better
yeah.
look. I think I started to look really stupid with short hair, especially like in 2018. I don't know. I don't think it was working anymore.
I don't think so. But long hair looks good as well on you. You're just lucky.
I think the fans are massively in the majority camp of long hair as well. I've barely seen anyone say they don't like it as much. I've only seen people compliment Charlie's long hair.
I see a lot on team short hair, to be honest. I see more for short hair than long hair, I think.
Really?
Do you think it's because they don't remember what it looked like? Are they just like reminiscing about perceived better days that didn't actually exist?
I don't know. So like if you look at the old short hair GIFs, like the one where I do the creepy like stalker smile thing, like that's me with short hair, and I don't think that looks very good. Like it really started to not work for me. Like late college, when I was putting a lot more effort into it, it worked. But when I got lazier in 2018, the short hair stopped being better.
Yeah. Plus, I guess long hair doesn't take much to maintain either. You just let it grow.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Kaya? What's going on with your hair?
It's a struggle right now because it's summer, and in summer it gets so fucking hot. I really don't know how women do it throughout their entire lives. It gets so damn hot, and like Charlie said, it gets in your face and in the way all the time. I had no idea just how annoying it is. Like, I literally cannot function unless I put my hair in a bun now. I can't work out. I can't just sit on my computer and do shit. It just, my field of vision gets narrowed to like 5 degrees if I just let it flop around wildly. I also have very thick hair and dense, so it's really just hot and annoying, but I still like it. I think I'll keep it for a while longer just to see what happens and how I look.
Would you ever shave it completely off?
What, like down to a bald head?
No, like maybe a little bit stubble.
Like a buzz cut? Give him like a navy crew cut?
Yeah. No, I do not. I did that once in my life, and I was, I think, in high... It was either in high school or like a college freshman. I did that once, and I discovered very quick that I have one of those head shapes that definitely does not lend itself to being bald. Just a really shitty head shape where the back of my head is bumpy? Just completely flat. No, not bumpy, just fucking flat. I look like a henchman from a movie or something. I look really dumb.
Do you have like a widow's peak and stuff too? Do you have like a cool like superhero kind of hairstyle if you let it go super short?
What's a widow's peak again?
It's like the, like, I have one. It's like that sharp piece in your forehead. Well, hold on. It's like that, like one little island of hair that sticks out beyond the rest, and it gets like really sharp.
Oh, guess? Well, maybe a really mild one, yeah.
Oh, the V thing?
Not too
harsh,
not too sharp. Yeah. But yeah, I think what I'll do is once I get older, I'll go back to my old hairstyle just so I can look younger.
I think I have a form of the widow's peak, but just from the basis of a receding hairline at the edges. So it's, widow's peak, is it?
You're not balding, Jackson. The doctors are wrong.
Yeah. I've been to so many doctors. Oh, man. It'd be so nice. The science has to get there. It has to get there. I can't believe we haven't been able to grow hair.
Look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk used to be like just like you, sad, pathetic, balding, and then he got billions, and he regrew all of his hair miraculously over the course of like a year.
Yeah, get a hair transplant, Jackson. Get plugs. Get Rogaine. There's a million methods now.
Didn't we talk about this before? That's because Elon Musk can actually afford that shit. Isn't that very expensive?
Well, I think hair transplants have come down in price, but it's still like a full-on surgery.
Jackson, you could gain some confidence and own it and shave your head completely. Why not?
Nah.
Why not?
Oh, shit, I was stupid. I was a dumb idea. I'm with you, Jackson. Andrew just said some cringe shit.
Oh, my lord. Imagine not wanting to be bald.
Until you start going bald, you don't know what it's like.
I'd just shave my head by that point. You own up to it. Face your fears. Accept reality.
Why do we have fat positivity and stuff like that, but not bald positivity?
We do bald positivity.
Yeah, like we absolutely do.
No, we don't. Yeah, we've got
now I'm telling you, you should shave your head and go bald.
That's fake.
Oh, Jackson.
Like, it's only like the super buff rock style characters that get that kind of positivity.
That's right. Yeah. Walter White was totally buff and a rock star.
To be fair, though, it's not like Walter White was like slamming ham every night or anything.
He's not like an attractive icon.
Yeah, he's not like a sex icon.
True.
Your solution is to become like a drug kingpin.
Yeah. If you make $1 million selling drugs, you're not going to care how bald you are. It's just science.
I think you still would. Even if you're the most successful man alive, that's going to be a source of weakness for you, being bald.
Yeah, so is being short, Jackson. Well, join the club. Things are out of your control sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
What's his face? Jeff Bezos makes work, Jackson.
You can wear high heels, though.
Look at Jeff Bezos. He's bald as a fucking cue ball, and yet he's hugely rich. Do you
he's
think
also
he
super insecure, though, to be fair.
Yeah, he'd choose to have hair if the choice was there. I think most people would choose to have hair.
Wait, why is he insecure? What did he do?
Have you never watched any of those interviews with him, like with the like the cowboy hat and shit? He just seems really pretty insecure.
I don't think I've ever heard Bezos talk. Ever.
Oh, you're lucky.
I only ever saw photos of him.
He does not sound like he would be super successful. He actually sounds like dumb. I don't know how to describe it. He just sounds like actually stupid.
I don't know how people sit down and watch these fucking super giga rich people for like advice and give TED Talks and shit. Like, I've never been into it. It's like, let me sit down and watch a Jeff Bezos interview and have him give me tips. Like, oh, okay, so your hint is start with $1 million from your parents and then start a business. Thank you.
Isn't that the most frustrating shit? People like worship Elon Musk as a self-made billionaire, but he also came from extreme wealth to start. Like, none of them are self-made. They all had a massive advantage.
I mean, I'm sure there's like one or two billionaires who are self-made from rags to riches. But yeah, sometimes you listen to them, it's like, which one was it? Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard or some shit to start his business. And it's like, okay, so he had the privilege and luxury to drop out one of the top schools on the planet and pursue his dreams. Like, other people don't have that luxury.
They did that with one of the
already set.
They did that with one of the Kardashians when she became a billionaire.
Oh my God.
They
said she was
the
first
daughter.
Kylie Jenner, yeah, like Kylie the first Jenner. Self-made billionaire woman. When it's one of the fucking Jenners. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, you mean the daughter of like two billionaires? Self-made, I guess.
What does self-made mean? Like, I don't understand what it means.
It's funny how you never see like a self-made African starving child become a billionaire. It's fucking weird, huh? How there's never any billionaires coming from those villages impoverished.
You just reminded me of one billionaire in particular that actually I think fits the mold of self-made. Isn't the guy behind 5-Hour Energy, didn't he come from pretty much nothing and then donates like almost all of his billions to like conservation and like really positive shit? I vaguely remember reading about him a couple years back.
I have no idea what 5-Hour Energy is.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
You guys don't know 5-Hour
Energy? $1 billion company?
Yeah, 5-Hour Energy is absolutely massive.
It's huge. It was one of the first really big mainstream popular energy drinks.
Website looks shit.
It became a $1 billion company in 2012, and that was still a decent bit before energy drinks became so like mainstream.
Oh, yeah, no, it blew up.
Yeah, it was huge.
And I remember the guy, his name
Manoj Bhargava.
Yeah, he was apparently like a super wholesome guy. So the majority of like his billions that he was generating through this, he was giving back. So this guy just seemed like to come from pretty much out of nowhere, start this and give it all away.
Since 2015, he has pledged 99% of his net worth towards bettering the world's less fortunate.
Yeah, in 2022,
we never hear about these kinds of characters, do we?
I know, which is sad.
Yeah. Because true altruism isn't exciting. People don't want to read about this shit. No one cares. They want to read about Elon Musk being like, I'm going to use my millions to launch my cat into space. They don't actually want to read about charity and shit because it's not sensational. Yeah, it's not showy.
Another example could be authors usually are kind of self-made, I guess, because it doesn't take a lot of money to get started writing, you know. Mm-hmm. You kind of just need a typewriter or a laptop. Like JK Rowling would be an example where I think she used to be like lower or middle class woman in an abusive relationship, and then she became a billionaire.
How is she not the first self-made billionaire woman then?
She was a single mother and was writing Harry Potter in her spare time. Yeah.
How did Kylie Jenner beat her?
Good points. Why is she not a self-made? Well, the thing is also, I think technically she's no longer a billionaire because she gives so much to charity that Forbes, I think at some point they announced that they had to drop her from the list of billionaires because she keeps giving away money.
But she still would have been a billionaire before.
That's only a good thing, though.
Yeah, no.
I know.
As controversial and shitty as J.K. Rowling is, I mean, that's a great thing. I wish more billionaires were like that.
I wasn't calling her shitty. I don't think she's shitty at all. I think it's a good thing.
That's the reason why you don't hear about her, is like the self-made billionaire. Kylie Jenner is like a pretty squeaky clean in the public eye with a massive following that worships her. So calling her self-made scores brownie points with that community. But if you say that for J.K. Rowling after everything she's done, and like all the people she's like pissed off over the years, you just get attacked. So no one really writes about it.
What about didn't Kylie Jenner do that protest video with Pepsi though?
Yeah, but that was just goofy. So it's not like she actually made people mad. It was just goofy.
I forgot about that.
It should have made people mad. It's such a fucking tone-deaf video.
Hang on. How much do we know that was her idea?
It doesn't matter if it was her idea. She was in it.
I would have been in it too, Jackson. I would have given the officer Pepsi if I was offered the role.
Jackson, what? There's a difference between her showing up and going, hey, Pepsi, I want you to give me the money to make my anti-war protest film, and Pepsi saying, hey, we'll give you $100 million to star in our commercial. There's a big difference.
I disagree. I think you say no to that one.
Yeah, but you have no clear-cut idea of how it's going to turn out until you're actually a part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
She knows the raw concept behind
what
If Pepsi came to your doorstep with a briefcase of $100 million and said you're going to star in an anti-war protest commercial, would you say yes or no?
It wasn't an anti-war protest video.
It was an anti-violence protest commercial.
It was we're all divided, which is why Pepsi can unite us. Like, if
would you say yes or no to that?
If you get pitched on the concept, Jackson, like, hey, everyone's kind of mad at each other. Why don't you be in this commercial where we're going to try and make a wholesome, positive thing about it and bring us together? You'd probably be like,
All right. Wait. It's impossible for me to know whether I would say yes or no. And it depends on a price tag. But also, I would be completely fine with then criticism being levied at me for appearing in that.
It's not like she's making a big stink about it.
Well, true. Yeah, I guess. But not much of a stink was made in the first place.
That's not true.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was massive news. Everyone making fun of her and Pepsi for
not
it.
Directly,
fucking, not directly. Fucking love the boys. Her, though, right? Jackson, you love the boys so much. One of the newest episodes had a direct parody of that commercial calling it out for how cynical it was.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I was thinking of when I first started talking about this.
Yet you say it wasn't a big deal.
Well, it wasn't. She's still a self-made billionaire, and she does, like...
Can we stop calling her a self-made commercial? Can we stop saying
that? But like Charlie said before, like, she's still squeaky clean and shit, even though she's clearly, I would say, moralless, or she doesn't really care about...
I don't think starring in a bad commercial makes you a bad person.
I think it could be an indicator.
I think there's so much worse things that she should have done to earn that moniker, but starring in a Wayward Design commercial.
Doesn't mean she's a bad person, but she's definitely disconnected.
Disconnected would be a much better word for it.
I don't think there's a single billionaire who's connected to the modern man.
Manoj Bhagava possibly could be if he's pledged 99% of his money.
But that makes him not a billionaire, doesn't it?
Yeah, makes him eventually not a billionaire.
Yeah.
Also, just a fun fact about Manoj Bhagava, the CEO of Innovations Ventures, who created, what was the energy drink called?
5-Hour Energy.
He was born in a city in India called Lucknow. It's just called Lucknow. That's a cool city.
It paid off.
Yeah. Every person that came from Lucknow became like a billionaire or super successful.
They do shit like that in Africa where they just name things after English phrases. I had a buddy who went to Africa and his tour guide was named Good Luck. Like that was his official legal name, just Good Luck.
That's really awesome, actually.
I think it's cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So I guess Manoj Bhagava is one example of a billionaire who is genuinely self-made. I think authors becoming self-made billionaires, it still depends on how self-made they truly are. Like there's a lot of things that go into how successful an author could be, like if they've got the right connections and stuff, are they still self-made?
I mean, depends on what do you mean by connections. Like if your book is shit, people are still not gonna really buy it.
I disagree.
I don't know.
I think if you get put in the right, press releases or write Kylie Jenner Instagram posts, then are you still truly self-made?
I don't know.
Well, by that definition, Jackson, there's never going to be a self-made billionaire because you need the structures of play to create a billionaire in the first place.
I agree. I don't think you can become a billionaire by being truly self-made.
Well,
it takes a lot of collaboration.
Can you become anything truly self-made, then?
Is there anything in the world that is self-made?
Yeah.
No. I think it's a poor title.
Unless you're a fucking caveman living in the woods, you will never do anything self-made.
Yeah, but you're not going to be a billionaire in the woods. That's my point.
I don't know what your point is, though. It's just saying, like,
I get it, but
I don't. Like, nothing is self-made. Well, no.
Yeah, no, that is my point. We're arguing whether Manoj Bhargava is self-made. Well, we're saying he is self-made, at least relative to Kylie Jenner. But I would say that there's still a lot of other people that contributed to his success that doesn't make him truly self-made. I mean, he doesn't have the overhead, like, money coming down from his parents, which Kylie Jenner had.
What people usually mean by self-made is, oh, this guy started from, like, zero and he didn't have any investment.
Do they, though? Then why the fuck did they give it to Kylie Jenner? No one knows what self-made means.
Pandering.
Yeah, it's just pandering.
Yeah, that's just pandering. Yeah, that's not really. And
yeah.
They're just made up bullshit. I mean, good for her, I guess, but not self-made.
Would you consider yourself self-made, Charlie?
No, I don't think so. Why?
I don't think you had like. Extremely wealthy parents who handed things to you on a silver platter.
I mean at the end of the day, like, I got, like, the success I found came off the back of, like, Ray William Johnson promoting it, and then after that it just became like a cascade of, like, luck that had to transpire in order for me to get to where I am.
True. Yeah,
like, it's not like I mean, pulled myself up by my bootstraps.
I think you're downplaying how much you directly led to that, but yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Someone I would consider self-made, though, on YouTube would be Mr. Beast. He started by just doing, like, random shit that could go viral, like counting to 100,000 in a single video and shit like that. And it went viral all on its own without any, like, handouts or shout-outs or anything. So he actually straight up, like, built that channel from nothing. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I'd say that's probably a better definition of self-made. Or even, like, PewDiePie, who was only doing Let's Plays, and then it just grew on its own organically. I got handed out a shout out from the biggest channel on the platform.
You still have views before Ray William Johnson, though.
Yeah, but not, you kind of. If you got that shout out, it means it had merits and you earned it, though. It wasn't like a favor. It wasn't like, again, Bezos' parents giving him $300,000.
Oh, well, yeah,
no fucking reason.
I wouldn't compare it to, like, growing up super, like, with everything put on your plate or anything like that. But at the end of the day, it was still luck, and Ray William Johnson, like, boosted everything for me.
Yeah.
It was lucky.
If you're going with that, you've also gotten shout-outs along the growth ladder. Like, PewDiePie gave you a big shout-out back in the way back in the day, and there's been other ones floating around.
Yeah, no,
I really...
I agree.
But I don't see a massive difference in between. Like, that seems like just organic growth for YouTube. Really, like, someone larger, you know, shouts your stuff out or says that they enjoy your content. And I'm sure people did that with PewDiePie and Mr. Beast when they were, you know, slightly smaller. I still think that word of mouth is a, you know, a factor there.
Well, that's basically what virality is. Virality is literally word of mouth.
Yeah, so I don't think it's too different. Yeah. Hmm.
Jackson, would you feel better if we read some ads?
Yes, please. I have to piss so bad.
Please.
This is for Jackson.
Self-make us.
Jackson seems like the man who needs me to tell him about something. He's telling me about everything. Oh, man. Well, if you love a story, you're going to love the story about watches. Once upon a time, there was a company. It was in South California, and there were two college dropouts. Their names weren't Bill Gates and other quote-unquote self-made billionaire who dropped out of Harvard, no. But they were two men who made Movement. Movement is a fashion brand, and it's one of the fastest-growing watch brands on the planet. And they've also expanded to have blue light glasses and minimalist jewelry and style essentials and all sorts of other incredible things. When you go to Movement, you're going to say, my God, this watch has the look and quality of a $400 to $500 watch, but I'm paying a fraction of the price because it's built entirely online and all of the process is owned from start to finish? That's crazy. But I want this watch. I'm tired of putting my arm through my monitor and pretending I'm wearing it. I hate printing out pictures of it and wrapping them around my fucking sleeves. It doesn't make any sense. What's that? I can have it shipped directly to my door for free, and if I don't love it, somehow, I can ship it right back? Well, you've got me sold, good sir. Movement watches just sound like an incredible gift, an incredible game changer, an incredible good bargain. If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join the movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/official. That's mvmt.com/official for 15% off with free shipping and free returns. And if you like free things, well, I have another free code for you. And it's a website that you can visit for free. You can visit this website for free. No one will charge you a single dollar to look at this website. Do it from your phone. Do it from your computer. Do it from the library. Do it from the McDonald's Wi-Fi. Doesn't matter. Find a way to do it. Because you're going to check out Manscaped. And while you're checking out Manscaped, you're going to get checked out by other people. Let's face it. You get checked out by other people, whether you don't believe it or you do believe it, or you think you're attractive or you think you're unattractive. Doesn't matter. Someone out there is checking you out. They're eyeing what you've got. They're spying on your goods. And can you imagine how red in the face, how fucking choked up with embarrassment you'll be if they see some scraggly little pubic hair climbing its way out of your pants? The fuck are you thinking? Walking around in public with that disgusting, horrid mound just pulling down your fucking waistline and going, hey, look at me. This person doesn't trim. Well, with Manscaped, you can get the Performance Package 4.0 with a Lawnmower 4.0 electric trimmer designed to trim hair on loose skin. It's also going to come with the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver to help show off your set for this year. You're also going to get a travel bag. You're also going to get anti-chafing boxer briefs. Those are a little free gift thrown in there by Manscaped because they know that they want you to be checked out and they want you to be your best self when you're getting checked out in terms of your pubic hygiene. Look, kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb and get the best tools for the job. Travel to manscaped.com for the exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping with code official. 20% off, free shipping, code official at manscaped.com. New year. No pubes in 2022 with Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, code official.
Even it is winter at the moment, at least over here. So if you're looking to keep your pubes around for warmth, which kind of somewhat makes sense, at least get Manscaped in the case of emergency.
For like kindling, those, right?
Yeah. In case you need to light a fire.
You could build a sweater for your girlfriend out of them. Also, if you are outside and you want to feel the nice brisk cold winds, you could lower your pants and like right there, bare skin feels good. It's three uses right there for your pube shaver.
Thanks, Manscaped.
Thank you. Alrighty.
So boys, what do we have for this week? Andrew, I saw you talking about Morbius again in the topics channel on our private Discord.
Was I? Hang on, what did I post?
You
it was a little blur.
Was it the blockbuster?
Yeah. 16 coffees.
Oh, yeah. It's just an amusing little fun thing I found. So we talked last episode, I think, about the last Blockbuster on Earth, how there's one left and they advertised they're the last one. They right now have 16 copies of Morbius to rent, and six of them are currently already rented.
They invested big in Morbius. Yeah,
which I find fun. Number one, they have so many copies. But number two, who are those six people who went to the last Blockbuster on Earth to rent Morbius on DVD?
People just like you. You would absolutely do that.
Yeah, I probably would.
It's only one person, yeah.
It'd be a fun road trip. You go to wherever the fuck this Blockbuster is. You ask for Morbius. You get it. You get it for a week. It'd be fun. Why not? Fuck it.
My favorite thing about the story was that they actually purchased 16 copies. That's like half of Blockbuster's remaining budget, and they spent it all on all on Morbius.
Apparently, this is located in Oregon, so we could road trip to Oregon, go rent the Morbius, come back, do it all in a week. Be fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Someone finally gets it.
What is Oregon?
A state.
Yeah, but like, is it in the middle of America, directly in the middle? I'm wondering why it's the only place with a Blockbuster left.
It's a very hipster place. Very hipster. So it actually makes a lot of sense that it's there.
Jackson, you don't remember? Andrew told us that story where we went to Oregon with his brother during like the Nike
Oh, that was Oregon
Festival or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that now. Yeah. Okay.
My brother lives in Oregon. He's a giant hippie.
Well, it's I remember Oregon
hipsters
for
and hipsters, hipsters and hippies.
Is you know, the old game Oregon Trail. That's about it.
Yeah, it's on the West Coast. It's sandwiched between Washington and California.
So it is actually a big state.
Yeah. Fairly populated. Large landmass, but it's, I don't know. There's a show called Portlandia that I've watched, and it's Fred Armisen and Carrie Blackstone making fun of just hipsters and weird like trends that catch on. It's 100% accurate to Oregon. It is nothing but Portland, people trying Oregon. To. Yeah, Portland. Portland is
the place that that's like on fire every fucking year, and where they like have autonomous zones. That fucking cringe place for hippies.
Now it makes sense.
Okay, now Jackson, I'm sure you've heard of it.
Now you're getting it. I've heard of Portland. So Portland specifically is a city where everyone has to outweird each other. The keyword is has to, not like they want to. They have to. They have to be more unique and more interesting than everyone else. Yeah, and that's so Oregon.
Frustrating to be around.
I'm looking at a video of Keep Portland Weird at the moment. Someone posted it in chat. It's just a bunch of people on unicycles wearing Darth Vader outfits with Scottish bagpipes that blow out fire.
I would never live there. It seems like a nightmare, but visiting there just to be like, ah, fuck, what's going on here? It's fun. A fun place.
Portland just sounds like a place that's inhabited by only theater kids from back in high school.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hate theater
kids. That's very accurate. Fuck. Yeah. Fuck yeah, we should go. Oregon's fun. It's got some cool things.
Do they have that kind of place in Florida at all? Do you have a keep somewhere in Florida, weird place?
I don't think so.
The only thing I'd say is similar.
Florida
to
overall is pretty weird, though, right?
Yeah. I'd say the only place similar to that would be Wilton Manors, which is the gayest city in America. So they are very, very much,
weird.
Well, no, but they're very, very outwardly decorated with pride. So there's like tons of outlandish decorations and drag queen fashion and shit that you see.
Yeah, that's not what I think of when I think of like Keep Portland Weird, though. I don't think of just like
kind of
pride.
All I can think of, I guess.
Like, I know Texas has one with, I think it's Austin. Is it Austin that's the weird one? Because I keep hearing of like Keep Austin Weird. That's like
I've also never heard that.
All right, well, you're lying. I'm googling it.
Keep Austin Weird. You're only saying that because you just looked at a Keep Portland Weird gif.
It's a thing on Wikipedia. I'm not sure how big it is.
I mean, it's a pretty big city.
Austin's a huge city, but I've never heard of this. Keep Austin Weird.
It's definitely Texas's most hipster city.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it rivals.
I don't think it rivals Portland, though. Like Portland is probably the weirdest, one of the weirdest places in America.
Yeah.
Offbeat, I think, is a good word for it.
Cringe is a good word for it. Remember when they had a warlord rule like a subsection of their fucking city, a rapper with an Uzi?
Wait, what? I don't know that one.
You guys don't remember this? This was in the Chaz, the something-something autonomous zone. This was around, like, in the 2020 riots when all the hipster white people were like, oh, rioting is fun. This is about us now. And then they established an autonomous zone. And then a rapper moved in, and he became the local warlord of that section of the city. And he just went around ruling that part.
You mean like a mayor?
I guess, yeah, basically, like a hipster Mad Max mayor, like Immortan Joe.
Did the people in the Chaz Autonomous Zone vote for him? Was it a democratic warlord?
I don't think so. Someone saying that was Seattle. Am I misremembering? I swear to God, it was Portland.
I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't know what you're referring to.
I could see Seattle and Portland getting mixed up.
Speaking of other warlords, though. Speaking of other warlords, though, why don't we update everyone on what's happened with Ezra Miller since the last time we've spoken about him?
What happened?
I cannot believe that it is still ongoing. How has he not been arrested? So the latest report that I read was 3 days ago. Yeah, Kai, do you want to read it?
No, you go ahead.
So is this it's a Twitter post that has announced that Ezra Miller has reportedly been housing three children in a gun-filled farm. Video footage shows 8 firearms in the living room and a 1-year-old baby reportedly had a bullet in its mouth. So he's it's a cult thing now. Well, it was a cult thing before, but now it's really a cult thing because he's got his own farm.
So what I heard is a man is now looking for his wife and his child, both of whom are with Ezra Miller on this farm where he's raising weed. And apparently growing weed, sorry.
Watching it grow. Yeah.
I'm just so confused by the photo. Sorry, my brain is blanking out. They have like these fucking, they're using these stock photos of old timey guns, like these pirate pistols for some reason. In this article, anyway, yeah, so apparently he's stockpiling guns and ammo, and there apparently have been photos of little babies with ammunition and chewing on ammunition and choking on it and shit, and he is growing weed plants on his property that are apparently illegal because he's not allowed to have that many or some shit. So now people are suspecting, what if this turns into an ATF thing and it turns into a shootout like Waco?
Where does he keep getting the children?
So in the case of the three children that are staying at the Ezra Miller farm.
Three children?
Yeah, so there's three children that are being housed at the Ezra Miller estate, and the reason they're there is because their mom is there. So the mom brought them.
Okay.
Oh my god. Why do these women keep bringing their children to Ezra Miller like as sacrificial lambs?
Celebrities, Jackson.
Everyone
will do everything for celebrities. That's how it works.
Ezra Miller has been hosting a 25-year-old mother and her three young children at their Vermont farm, a living arrangement that worries the children's father. No shit. As well as two others with knowledge of the situation.
You want to know all the thoughts going through the 25-year-old mother's head? Oh my god, you were the Flash. You were in the Justice League. Wow, I loved you in that movie.
I saw you on a big screen.
Yeah.
Take my children.
That's literally what's happening. I'm not kidding. That's what happened with Michael Jackson. There was all that weird shit, and some of the moms were like, hey, love you. Music. You're the best.
Do we know how he's finding them? Are they like posting like through Instagram or something? Is she messaging him through Instagram? Like how's he finding them?
It says during Miller's meltdown, Miller specifically secured a flight to Hawaii for the woman and the children without the father's knowledge. By the way, I think the father is also like convicted of domestic abuse and shit. So maybe that's why the woman had like an incentive to run away from him. The dad's been trying to get the kids back since April of this year. Representatives of Miller did not reply to a request for comment. Multiple sources note there was frequent and heavy marijuana use in front of the kids with, quote, little concern for ventilation. Blah, blah, blah. Boy. And apparently he's been giving the child high doses of LSD, allegedly.
Oh, here we go. There it is.
Awesome. Wait, can we talk about how weird this situation is? During Miller's Hawaii visit, the actor was arrested twice and at least 10 calls were placed to local police regarding their behavior. The first arrest stemmed from a disorderly conduct charge when Miller was set off by a couple at karaoke, we've talked about that, singing Shallow from A Star Is Born on March 28th. But then, later that night, Miller allegedly entered a couple's bedroom and threatened them, saying, I will burn you and your slut wife, according to the request for a temporary restraining order that the couple filed. Miller also allegedly stole a passport and wallet.
You guys don't remember that? We talked about that. I brought that up.
I remember the first part. I remember the karaoke
I remember
part.
All of it. I did not know that he yelled, I'm going to burn your slut wife. This guy's such a fucking misogynist. All he does, he grooms only girls and he beats only women. And he hates women so much. It's fucking hysterical. And okay, so here's my conspiracy theory for why he's not been arrested yet. I assume that this guy has a lot more dirt on him than we know right now. And if he gets arrested, all of that shit is going to come out. Well, DC has a lot of money invested in this guy, right? His movie isn't even out yet. So I assume that all of the rich investors are kind of like keeping the cops off of him until at least the movie is out. That's my assumption. I don't know what the fuck else would be the reason for the cops not to just knock on the door and like do a property search for him.
when you said DC, I completely forgot that you were talking about like DC, the comic book company. I thought you meant like Washington, DC, like the government invested in it.
They're tracking him down. They can't let him go for too much longer.
Maybe that too. I mean, think about it though. I mean, how many years did Weinstein get away with this fucking bullshit, right? Even though everybody knew about it. Same with Epstein. There was just some people pulling the strings and keeping the cops off of him. Maybe they're doing the same thing with Ezra. You know, it would be kind of bad if we had court proceedings literally at the same time as his movie was coming out.
The movie's probably not going to come out. And we found out a whole bunch of shit.
They were going to release it.
No, Warner Bros. Keeps...
Last week they are?
No, Warner Bros. Keeps flip-flopping on it. Last I heard, they were like going to stick to their guns. Like, yeah, it's coming out. This is the last time Ezra Miller will be the Flash. And then the allegations got worse. And I thought I remembered reading them saying, yeah, we're still not sure what's going on with the Flash.
That's not like a cancellation or anything. I haven't seen any like anything that points to them canceling it yet.
So is it finished? Like, is it ready to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may as well release it then. Why not?
It's just not really a good look.
I know, but it's pretty bad optics. You don't have to advertise it. You can just be like, hey, we made this movie before we knew of the circumstances. Here it is, moving on. If it's already finished, why not?
Would it be classy if they released it with like a 5-minute mini documentary detailing Ezra Miller's crimes directly at the start? Comes on the screen
in the beginning and apologizes for all his actions. Yeah,
I mean the thing is, Ezra's already. I assume he's already paid, right? I mean, do actors get a cut of the final proceeds of the movie?
So I looked that up not too long ago. It depends on their size. So in a movie like The Flash, where Ezra Miller is The Flash, he is the draw, the main character, sometimes they do actually have deals where they get a cut of the gross, I think. They get like a percentage of gross.
Mm. Okay, if that's the case, I could see why you wouldn't want to release it.
Yeah, but there's no telling if Ezra Miller has that kind of deal. I don't know what star power they're capable of pulling, especially when their resume is Fantastic Beasts in The Flash.
It depends on the contract. You know, sometimes you get a flat rate for a movie. Other times you get a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's my conspiracy theory. Why do you guys think he's not arrested yet then? If it's not Hollywood pedophiles shielding him or investors protecting him from the law.
There still isn't, I'm going to go out on like the standard reason where they don't have enough actionable evidence to convict Ezra Miller of anything at the moment. He got arrested in Hawaii like a few times, but let go for what were ultimately misdemeanor charges of like a assault and breaking and entering. But I don't believe they've actually like taken Ezra for anything huge at the moment.
Assault's not a felony?
What? Are you saying it's not a felony, or are you asking?
I couldn't tell if that was a statement or a question.
I said, is assault not a felony? You said that he only got brought in by misdemeanors, but wouldn't assault be a felony?
Oh, I don't know. This was in Hawaii. I believe they were taken in for the chair throwing thing, which I thought was assault, but maybe Ezra Miller wasn't charged with assault.
Maybe Hawaiians are just built tougher, and to get assault charges there, you have to like really fuck someone up.
Here, why don't we get a conclusive answer? Ezra Miller criminal charges. So they were arrested for disorderly conduct and harassment. So that was for the chair throwing.
The thing with assault is the bar for assault, if anything, is actually lower than you might think. Assault, if you like threaten somebody with a beating, that is assault. You don't have to actually beat them up for it to be assault. When you do beat them up, I think that's battery. So what he did,
I'm sure
in my opinion, is absolutely assault. If you breaking into your fucking bedroom yelling, I'm gonna bitch wife or whatever.
But because he's famous, that could have been downgraded to harassment. He could have straight out been assaulting people, but they were like, oh, that's Ezra Miller. Just charge him with harassment. It's fine.
They downgraded it
to an unpaid parking ticket.
Yeah, it seems the only thing they were charged with while in Hawaii was harassment and disorderly conduct. There's nothing about assault or anything. Even though when you read the reports, it sounds like assault.
Yeah.
He also allegedly stole a passport. I thought that was a felony.
Actually, I'm wrong. April 19th, arrested for second-degree assault.
Oh, well, there it is.
I don't know then how they're still out there causing so much mayhem.
Second degree assault is a felony then, right?
I would think so.
And again, I thought stealing a passport was like tantamount to identity theft, which was a felony, right?
Whose passport did he steal? The girl's?
It just says stole a passport, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, he tried to pose off as a 25-year-old married woman.
I mean, I think he's trying to. I don't know, it's weird. That's my only explanation. I don't know what the fuck else to make of this. Like, he is obviously fucking weird, and there's shady shit, and it is awkward. It is weird that the cops aren't even knocking at his fucking door, you know?
I also think it is a little odd, especially if they were actually charged with second-degree assault. There should be no circumstance where they have access to a ton of weapons and an entire family.
Yeah, and okay, so I just looked it up. For a basic first offense of passport fraud, which I guess this could be classed under, you can be fined $250,000 and sentenced up to 10 years in prison. So that they take passport stuff pretty seriously in America. And well, it's a federal not that crime.
Seriously.
What? How? Yeah. How is he getting away with this? It did say he allegedly stole it, so I guess there's no evidence that he actually stole it. This is what's confusing. I don't know what crimes he actually committed and which ones.
The thing is, you have to say allegedly until they're tried and convicted of the crime.
Yeah, but is there an actual like police investigation open on this?
Yeah. Don't you remember they were trying to serve Ezra Miller, but they couldn't locate
him? Yeah.
They couldn't locate him at his fucking farm that he set up with his weed and bullets and babies.
You would think that now they can locate them since they have a fucking farm full of guns and kids.
This is so fucking confusing. How is nothing happening? How is the only thing happening him committing more crimes? Maybe he is being framed by evil Flash. There's a second Ezra Miller out there.
Reverse Flash, classic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was me, mustache. Ezra. Well, Reverse Flash is an actual character in DC, and he's literally just the evil Flash, and his entire motivation is to fuck over the Flash.
What was his, like, why does he want to fuck over the Flash? I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember why he hates the Flash so much.
I don't either, actually.
Is it the same character from a different timeline?
No, it's a completely different guy who just, he hates the Flash so much that he became the opposite Flash.
His entire motivation and everything he does is to ruin the Flash's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no updates or anything on this guy right now. Nothing. What Jackson read was the last we heard of him. Just feeding babies bullets and LSD, I guess.
Oh, so weird. What?
Yeah, well, all right, we'll keep you updated on Ezra Watch, everyone. Mm-hmm. Weekly news.
It's Ezra Watch, week 4.
As he becomes a real-life supervillain.
All right, where do you guys think this will end up? Do you think it'll be a Waco situation?
Not at all. No.
The way this wraps up is a super underwhelming ending where authorities finally decide that they have enough actionable evidence to charge Ezra Miller with some serious crimes.
Yep. They're going to get a warrant. They're going to knock on his door. He'll be either in a drug stupor or kind of weird and disoriented, and they'll take him in and wrap all this up. It'll be really boring.
I think for this to ever involve law enforcement with actual force and guns, he would have to do something with taxes. He'd have to like skip paying his taxes or something. And be arrogant about it, then they would probably bring back the guillotine and do a public execution for him. But till then, I doubt it.
I do.
Till then, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do think that there is a potential X factor with them. I think Ezra Miller might just be wild enough to shoot at cops if they do actually arrive with a warrant. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that is a Waco thing then.
Yeah, that's why I'm putting it like a point towards you, Jackson, where I think there is that possibility that Ezra Miller is unhinged enough to actually do that.
That would be fun.
That certainly wouldn't be fun for the kids and the mother. Yeah.
Well, get the kids
out.
Well,
if they get a gun too,
shoot up between the Flash. Oh yeah, give. I mean, the kid's already chewing on bullets. I mean, yeah, he's clearly born a gunslinger.
He's training them. It's fine.
But
I don't think that if the Flash is going to start shooting at cops, I don't think he's going to give them like a timeout to get the kids and
Ezra Miller.
I
don't know.
I won't comply with your warrant. In fact, I feel like fighting back, but let me get the kids out first.
Ezra Miller seems like the person without a doubt that if a shootout starts going out, he will hold up one of those children as a human shield.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Well, you guys are also making it sound like Ezra would be the only one putting the children at risk. The fucking FBI would torch his estate down with the babies in it and cook them alive.
Why?
That's the shit they do. Why? They've done it before. Do you not know what Waco actually was? They fucking burnt people alive. Or am I thinking of a different assault on a compound? Pretty sure that was Waco.
I actually don't remember Waco.
Yeah, but this is just
they are fucking
celebrity
evil.
Dude. This isn't a whole compound of people.
He's starting a cult. It started with one dude, but now he has like three babies and two girls, life. Right?
Waco started with one person. Hmm.
He's behind you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm still here.
The recording is going to be all kinds of fucked up. Everything on OBS crashed there, but so be it. I think there is an argument to be made that Ezra Miller has very cult-like ambitions here. There's the 12-year-old grooming allegations where Ezra was talking to a 12-year-old like all the way up until she was 18. And then she went with them and lost her Instagram account to Ezra and all that shit. So it's not just this one family. Seems like he has a history of like bringing people into the fold from all over the place.
I think
I was right. The FBI did burn down 76 people, including 25 children and two pregnant women at the Waco siege because of a gas canister that caught fire when they shot it. So it can happen. I hope he surrenders himself before a fucking baby burns down.
I think that Ezra has like godlike tendencies and like narcissism, and those are like the predilections to like, you know, cult stuff. So I think there's the possibility that this does evolve into a cult scenario.
Yeah, but I'm not saying.
I feel like the fact that the police know about him already limits that, though. I feel like maybe they would step in if people started going to this compound and joining up with the Flash cult. I don't know.
What do you guys think would be the funniest outcome? I think it would be the funniest if he drops the fucking children and it becomes this like Catch Me If You Can movie thing where he's on his own and he just keeps running from the law in different disguises. I think that would be fucking awesome.
Oh, like he actually makes it out of whatever confrontation does happen and then they go track him across the country?
Yeah, across the planet, yeah. And he constantly has passports and disguises.
He has all of Hawaii to play with. He could hop from the islands, just hide in the trees.
Break into everyone's bedrooms.
It's his domain.
And he won't be finished until he threatens every woman in Hawaii. He's like the ultimate incel. What is wrong with them?
Something.
Well, that was the Ezra update, I guess.
Yeah.
Jackson, you had another big topic, something about the MCA.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so...
Something really embarrassing for a person.
So, yeah, a few months ago, this is a Destiny topic, but it's not really anything to do with Destiny. A few months ago, a lot of Destiny YouTubers that post Destiny content to YouTube were mass DMCA'd. There was something like 95 of them that their channels got, like, you know, struck down, basically. And they assumed it was by Bungie itself, the creators of Destiny. But it's now been revealed by Bungie through lawsuit that the person who DMCA'd everyone in that mass strike system thing was a disgruntled Destiny YouTube creator himself who had his videos DMCA'd earlier in the year.
So, it's almost as if YouTube's system of letting literally anyone ever make a DMCA claim is a bad system.
That's what Bungie also alleges YouTube in their system. Lawsuit.
Yeah. Bungie's actually taking a pretty strong stance that YouTube is also at fault for this.
They absolutely are.
Needs to be better, which is great. good on Bungie, first of all. They're suing the guy for $7.6 million because he struck down 90-something channels. But what makes this even better is that this guy, he goes by Lord Nazo, something like that, Lord Nazo, who was himself a YouTube Destiny content creator that had his video struck down earlier in the year because they were just genuine uploads of the Destiny soundtrack. He inserted himself into the drama while this was all going on and was offering support to the people that he himself was DMCAing. He was pretending like a Jesus complex. It was so good. Well, some of his messages.
That's not what it was. He was doing it to placate suspicion, like, oh, I'm just like you guys. I also got my shit taken down. You know, we're in this together. I don't think he was doing it to be like a savior or anything. He was doing it to put himself at the bottom of the list of suspects.
How did they find out he did it?
I think it was both. Well, there was something to do with how he was discovered. I'm pretty sure he used a VPN to strike down all of these creators in the first place. But he did so, very smart. But what wasn't smart was that he was logged into his personal Google account when he was striking these down. So he had his address and IP address.
Stupid.
To be fair, though, there were a lot of ways they could have caught this guy. Because he had to impersonate a third-party agency Bungie uses. So in order to do that, he had to register, at least on some level, with YouTube as an official entity with legitimate information. So they could have just subpoenaed that from YouTube, which is actually one of the big holdups and why Bungie was so mad at YouTube, because they wouldn't give it to him. So they had to go through a different channel of finding the guy's identity.
Oh, is that true? YouTube didn't correspond with them. Yeah, I thought they did.
When the lawsuit first came out, maybe there was an intermediate update. But when I first saw the lawsuit, Bungie was desperately trying to get cooperation from YouTube to catch this guy, and they wouldn't budge on giving any of his information to Bungie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember the day that this all came out, everyone in the community immediately suspected that it was Bungie doing it, or the Bungie associate company that is in charge of all of their IP protection stuff. So the community sentiment was immediately extremely angry at Bungie, including the 96 super popular Destiny YouTube content creators. So it was a pretty bad situation for Bungie. And the entire time this Lord Nazo guy was in the DMs of everyone being like, oh yeah, this happened to me earlier in the year. We can't let Bungie get away with this. We can't let YouTube get away with this. Hopefully they reinstate our small YouTube creators.
What was his motivation here? He was just jealous of them?
No, he was mad. He was mad at Bungie.
For what? Getting actually struck?
His stuff had been legitimately struck at the start of the year. And he had a grudge against these big YouTube content creators because they had Twitter audiences that could then, you know, they could utilize to get the attention of Bungie, whereas he couldn't.
But he also, to be fair, his were legitimate takedowns. He would actually just rip straight soundtrack from the game for his channel.
Right.
And Bungie was really sweet about it. They warned him multiple times not to do it again because it's just going to keep resulting in strikes, and he kept doing it.
Yeah.
These messages are cringe too. So he was in the Discords of other YouTubers, I guess, playing these mind games with them. So he says it's people like us who suffer, the little guys, or just anyone with fewer than 250,000 YouTube subscribers. And he says, hell, you could make a Google account right now, go to YouTube Studio and submit a takedown request on any video you want.
It's so easy.
Bullshit copyright system ever. It's so brain dead simple that even a child could submit a takedown request without needing any proof of authorization. All of this is true. And yet he somehow still fucked it up.
Yeah, it's so easy. Here's how I did it, guys. Look how easy I did it.
Yeah, the fact that it's that easy makes it very likely for someone to just abuse the system. This fucking guy.
Look, I recorded how easy it is. Here's me doing it. Fucking idiot.
That is such bullshit.
Yeah, so, on March 20th, a couple weeks after it all happened, Bungie, this is before it was known that Lord Nazo was the one that did it, Bungie said, on Twitter, we're aware of a series of copyright takedowns on YouTube and we're actively investigating. This includes content on our own Bungie channel. So he also DMCA'd Bungie itself as well for their own content. These actions are not being taken at the request of Bungie or our partners. Please stand by for future updates. And he replied to that tweet saying, I just knew it wasn't you guys. I just couldn't believe that you'd do this to us after 8 years. I'm so glad I was right. You son of a bitch. Oh my
lord, what a sleazeball.
Yeah, what a fucking loser.
That's so cringe. How old is this guy?
Old enough to be sued for $7.6 million.
Yeah, it's not some kid. I think he's in his 20s.
God damn.
Far old enough to know better.
I thought I saw him, because I was doing a bit of groundwork investigation on the day that it all came out, because I was interested in seeing what Bungie's response would be, or if they were the ones doing it. So I was looking through the Reddit and stuff, the Destiny Reddit subreddit, and I'm pretty sure I recall seeing him in, like, every thread. Posting giant like essays about how this happened to him at the start of the year as well. So he was very active on the day, obviously, because I distinctly remember seeing it.
That's so cringe. Has he come out with a statement since he got caught?
I don't think so.
It's a good question. I feel like he has to. He's like a terminally online poster. I feel like there's definitely something somewhere.
His Twitter account has been deleted, as has his subreddit.
Oh, well, that's sad. Oh, man.
He had a subreddit?
Well, I'd delete fucking everything, too, if I got sued for 7 fucking million.
No, sorry, I meant his Reddit account has been deleted. Okay. Yeah, I love the fucking comments and stuff defending him as well. There's actually people defending this loser. Like, someone on Reddit says, guy did something stupid and petty, but they decide to ruin his life. Is that really worth that sort of punishment? Yeah. And while 7.6 million is pretty big, it's also he actively fucked over 100 other people.
There's always going to be people playing devil's advocate, exactly like you do, Jackson, with like fucking arcades and shit being gambling. Well,
no, I still stand by that. That wasn't devil's advocate. I think it's hypocritical to say that arcades aren't similar to microtransactions to some degree. Microtransactions are just more effective.
Here your point wasn't that they're similar again to some degree. You put them on the same pedestal as they are both equally bad.
No, I didn't.
I vaguely recall you saying, like, yeah, this is just as bad as arcades.
No, I distinctly said that microtransactions are much worse. I just think that they're similar in intention. That's what my point was. I went back and listened to it. I also, right, last episode, to just clarify some things since we're doing that now, I guess. Last episode, there was also a section where we were talking about evolution, I guess, and how animals don't evolve to go back into the ocean. And I think we collectively kind of said we can't think of any animals that did. And then every single fucking comment on the YouTube video was like, I can't believe Jackson's a dinosaur fan and he didn't know whales evolved to go back into the ocean. So I guess, yeah, whales evolved to go back into the ocean at some point. Yeah,
and you're arguing that arcades are microtransactions? God, why should I listen to anything you say? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know anything. Fucking idiot.
God, what a loser.
We've always said we don't know anything on this show.
I'm going to sue you for $7.6 million, Jackson.
Well, now I know. Honestly, that whales I'm okay did with that. Though.
We should sue more people who abuse the DMCA system. It should be way easier to have some sort of a counterclaim opportunity with that shit. It's so retarded. It is so retarded that literally anyone can do it. And it's not even a... Like, the system is so busted that complete fucking foreigners can submit DMCA complaints to American companies without anything. Like, just a private citizen can just, like this guy said, even click a button on YouTube and then some creator is fucked. Why? The system is ass.
Why don't they fix it?
Mm-hmm.
I think the fucking movie industry, I assume.
No incentive to. They're still a monopoly.
But wouldn't it create legal issues for them in the future?
Clearly like hasn't yet, yeah, unless Bungie decides to take the first step.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like Bungie it would just create more headaches for YouTube, yeah, though.
I don't know why you guys are focusing on YouTube. The DMCA problem isn't a YouTube-specific problem. It's a fucking cancer that's been spread by the movie and music industry to every website. Bending the knee and doing what's in their power to not get sued and shit.
The real big issue on all of it is American copyright law is such a goddamn predatory and convoluted piece of shit.
That's what I mean when I say DMCA. I mean, copyright in general is such a fucking trashy system right now that YouTube couldn't single-handedly fix it. It's not on them. That's not a defense of YouTube. Fuck them. But I'm just saying, like, your whole system is ass.
We really need blanket legislation to just change all of it. It's gotten so fucking out of control and ridiculous.
Probably Arcade's fault. Chuck E. Cheese and stuff like that created copyright law, I bet.
That goddamn mouse.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I hear of the mouse. I think of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep. The highest mouse in entertainment. Charles Entertainment Cheese, that motherfucker.
That son of a bitch.
He promised to play me in chess on stream and never did, that motherfucker.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it never happened. What? And he ghosted me.
What happened?
So I used to stream Kung Fu movies on Twitch, and at one point the official Chuck E. Cheese Twitch account popped in. I was just talking in chat and like giving subs and shit. And he was like, I love Kung Fu movies. They're great. They're fun. I want to challenge you to chess live on stream. And I was like, fuck, that's amazing. Let's do it. I love Chuck E. Cheese. And the day it was supposed to happen, he was like, hey, man, we're having some problems with our audio. So our stream setup really isn't working. So why don't we reschedule it for like later this month? And I said, okay, that sounds good. And then I never heard back from him again.
And then the next article you saw was Chuck E. Cheese declares bankruptcy, closing down all stores. Pretty much.
It was shockingly close to that. Yeah. So I don't think that'll be happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, you are they still know. A thing?
Chuck E. Cheese? He could come back.
Chuck E. Cheese is doing okay, aren't they?
No, they're bankrupt, Charlie.
Like, fully? I thought they were still alive.
I think they still have locations, but they're still bankrupt.
Yeah, they still have locations. They're not, like, in the...
Oh, they actually did go bankrupt? I was just joking. I didn't know that.
No, they really did. So,
Same thing as, like, Dave and Buster's? Or is it different?
Yeah,
I know the animatronics.
They're known for their incredible Twitch live streams where a puppet of Chuck E. Cheese looks at the camera and says, Poggers! You guys remember that?
No, yeah. I don't remember that.
Oh my god, that was such a great fucking clip. So Chuck E. Cheese used to stream on Twitch, and the way they do it is they play games with like a face cam, but the face cam was of a puppet of Chuck E. Cheese. And he would play like Among Us and Fall Guys, like all the kids' games. And at one point he was playing Fall Guys, and the game was starting, it was like the beginning of a round, and he just slowly looked to the camera like something's wrong, and the puppet just goes, Poggers! Just unprompted out of nowhere. It sounds like the guy operating it is being strangled. It's great. And then it just says nothing. It's just silent after that.
Yeah, I wonder what it
is. Oh, I love the Chuck E. Cheese Twitch channel. It was amazing.
Did it not get very popular?
No, of course not. No one gives a fuck about Chuck E. Cheese anymore. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I just saw it.
I did. I freaked out. When he came to my stream, I was like, oh my god, I love Chuck E. Cheese. I had my, like, fifth birthday party there. Holy shit. But modern kids don't give a fuck about Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, pretty much everything brick and mortar's dead. No one wants to go there. Even my dad. I was talking to my dad the other day. I was like, you want to go to the store and get some lights? Because we were doing something around the house. And he was like, no, we're not going to the store. I'm just going to order them. It's like, we can just go. And he's like, no, I don't want to go to the store.
Yeah. So
literally no one wants to go to anything brick and mortar anymore.
Would you classify your dad as a boomer, Charlie? Does he have like boomer tendencies?
Oh my God. I had to install Discord for him and he was lost. He was lost.
Wait, why'd you install Discord for him?
Yeah. What's because he going to do with Discord?
He plays iRacing with his friends.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
I've been to that man's house a couple times to fix his computer stuff, and sometimes it's as simple as he's like, when I open my game, it doesn't show up in this monitor like I want it to, and I have to change like a resolution. It's done. It's just done, and I'm like, yeah, you're welcome.
You should monitor his Discord interactions so he doesn't get groomed.
Yeah. Well, I think he's like the youngest in his group too. Like the people he races with are like in their 70s. Like one of them's in his 80s. That's and my so dad cute. Sent him a really nice gift basket for his birthday once. It's so adorable.
Oh,
yeah, I love seeing old people use technology and like enter that world. Maybe not in a, you know, sinister way, but like when they're just playing iRacing with their friends on Discord, that sounds cute.
Oh, it's like it's that. So adorable. And my dad's nasty at the game. He wins pretty much all their races. He's also the host of their races now, so he'll host their races for them. It's great.
What does hosting their races mean?
In iRacing, the races that are put on by other people. So my dad puts on like professional settings, so it feels as real, like as real as possible. So like you need to monitor your traction, your lift, tire pressure, and all of that. So he's the one that puts on like the really in-depth runs.
Yeah, your dad's great. He, what was it when we were? He messaged me earlier this year talking about my house, offering advice on the house and stuff, the house situation, which was very nice of him. And we got to talking about iRacing and stuff, and he showed me his setup. He sent me photos of his setup. It was so adorable.
His setup's really cool.
It is.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good man.
I had him come over to my house and play Doom the other day to see if he could beat a game journalist, and he did in one room but lost in the second room. And he ended up really liking Doom a lot, so now he wants to get another computer to play games outside of iRacing.
Aww.
Wait, can't he just play them on the iRacing PC?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to because that's his iRacing rig.
He's going to have a computer for every game that he plays.
You're goddamn right he would.
As my Doom 2016
rig. He
could
play with the steering wheel, though.
Oh, yeah, he should play Doom using the steering wheel. That'd be cool.
True. That would have been fucking
like that
nasty.
Guy, be like that guy who played Counter-Strike with the wheel and he had to honk the horn to shoot.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yo, wait, so what did you mean by he beat a games journalist? You had him compete against a games journalist?
Yeah, so I just put his footage side by side with, like, Polygon. You remember when they played Doom 2016?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see, yeah. Okay.
I wanted to see if he'd do better than them, because he hasn't played, like, an actual shooter in 20 years.
He actually beat the games journalist.
Yep, he was, like, 30 seconds faster finishing the first room than Polygon's guy.
Do the Cuphead challenge too. See if you can get past the tutorial.
Yeah.
The
that was my next see one. If you can learn how to play faster than they did.
That was the next one I was going to have him do. See if he can beat. Is this going to be really sad if he doesn't? Then it's like, damn it. God damn it, Dad.
Has there been a single piece of news in the last decade about game journalism that wasn't embarrassing?
No. It's always embarrassing. Yeah. It is always without
fail. It's amazing how hard that career has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
So disgraceful these days. It's fucking bad.
I don't even know how do they hire people who aren't even good at video games?
I don't even think you have to be good at video games. You just have to know how to play them at the very least.
And they don't.
I know.
They fucking don't.
I know.
There are game journalists who write articles that straight up admit they're like, I just don't play games anymore.
I hate games.
Like, what the fuck? And they hate games.
I hate games and I hate gamers.
This is why I really respect people like Jeff Keighley, who's like, I'm going to make my own game awards because these other ones are shit and I actually care about games, and he goes all out and puts a lot into it. Because there's just so many fucking games journalists now who are just like
hellbent on dismantling it and like destroying the games industry for whatever reason.
I understand critiquing the industry and approaching it from a different angle and exposing things and getting invested in it, but the way that they attack quote unquote games is just so malicious and like stupid.
They don't even hide it either.
So stupid.
Like in some of their reviews, they're like, this is my least favorite genre of game ever, and I really didn't want to play this, but I was forced to against my will, so I didn't bother learning the mechanics, and for that, I'm giving it a 4.
I know.
Well, it's like people who are only in games journalism because they couldn't cut it in the big boy leaks. And it's you can always tell because they try to write about real world news and politics, but through a gamer lens. So it's like, hey, this latest thing in politics is because of Gamergate. And then you scratch your head like, what the fuck are you talking about? That was 10 years ago.
Did you see the Kotaku tweet that said vilifying Amber Heard shows we learn nothing from Gamergate?
Oh my God. Yeah,
that's the biggest fucking thing. Like, did Kotaku also do it where they were like, we put the justices of the Supreme Court in Minecraft for no reason?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't think that was Kotaku.
It was
which one was that?
That was,
I don't know who it was.
It was either Kotaku or Polygon, and what's the fucking difference? Who cares? But point is, it's so fucking cringe. I hope these people get replaced by AI, and it is gonna happen. I mean, companies already have bots writing articles for them as just summaries. All you have to do is give it a fucking prompt, like, okay, blame abortion on Gamergate, go, OpenAI, and then you have a fucking article, done.
The fucking
you can
problem.
Have Dolly create the thumbnail and you're finished.
The fucking problem is that they're hiring journalists instead of hiring gamers. And, like, that sounds like a stupid thing to say. I will openly admit that sounds ridiculous. But if you're hiring a video games journalist, they should first and foremost be a fucking gamer. Someone who plays games and cares. Not someone who just wants to write articles about shit.
Yeah, check your gamer score first. You only hire if you're over 100,000.
It is the stupidest point, I know, but I firmly believe it.
I think you're right. I agree. Yeah. They just hire people that don't even like games to write their articles. It makes no fucking
yeah,
sense.
I'm telling you, it is people who couldn't get hired by the New York Times, yeah. So now they could have you to imagine, slum it into games journalism.
Could you imagine if you were reading ESPN, and let's say they're doing a special on, like, Charles Barkley, remembering Charles Barkley and his greats in the career and all that, and the opening lines were, I don't really watch basketball. I barely know how it's played. In fact, I've never seen a single game with Charles Barkley in it, but let's talk about how great he was. Like, what the fuck?
They wouldn't. That's
why
not
is
even
that acceptable?
Not even a good comparison, because it wouldn't end with, let's talk about how great he was. It's going to be like, and this is why I don't think anyone should care.
This is why he's actually
why
a scumbag
Gamergate's
piece
fault.
Of shit. Yeah. Like, it's so insane. How come in games this flies? Any other profession, everyone would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But in games journalists, they get front page.
Yeah, it doesn't make any insane. Sense. It's just really, like, probably one of the most widely least respected careers I can think of, honestly.
It didn't used to be. Like, remember?
It didn't,
I remember
absolutely
the,
didn't.
I remember the early 2000s, I used to love grabbing, like, Game Informer magazine and stuff and just reading everything in there.
In the early 2000s, game journalism was seen as an incredibly cool career. People thought they were the coolest fucking people because they would just play games and write about what they were passionate about.
It was also less corporatized, though, to be fair. It was people giving genuine opinions without having any relation to the property or the company.
It was an industry fucking led by people who really gave a shit about it. Most of the journalists were ones who were like, yeah, I play games in my spare time. I still, like, they were like, I walk into the office, I play this game, I review it, I go home, I play more games. Like, that was who worked there. It's not that anymore.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
They really were. There was a different crop. I remember watching the Game Informer people do Let's Plays on YouTube from a bunch of years ago, and they'd play all these shitty games Illbleed and what was the other one?
It was one you told me about. I remember you used to link me those videos. Illbleed, and I can't remember the other one either. It was like a...
Overblood. Overblood 1 and 2, and it used to be some guy called Tim and another guy called Dan, and they were really fun. It's just like Andrew said, these guys actually liked games. Like, that guy Tim was really into fucking Mega Man and shit, and all he would do is play Mega Man games and go home and play more Mega Man. And then he got hired by Capcom and stuff, and it's like, okay, this is nice. These are people who actually like video games, and they like getting together, having snacks, and playing video games. And now it's again these bitter fucking cocksuckers who just want to talk politics and do activism and fucking Minecraft.
It's probably because of
Gamergate, like its original sin.
It's probably because of a shift in the industry where all those people just became Let's Players and streamers, and now the only journalists left are people who want to be journalists.
No, so. I think it's a case of people. It's just a case of people that hate video games entering the games industry.
That's absolutely all it is. A little column A. Yeah,
it's like the Tumblr. It's the Tumblr crowd mixed with that as well, getting journalist jobs. But again, like Kai said, not being good enough at journalism to actually get journalist jobs, so they go for the low hanging fruit, and video games are technically the low-hanging fruit since it's a entertainment medium.
Journalism is the low-hanging fruit. It's not as if like being a journalist in general is such a high fucking bar, this arcane thing that is only bestowed upon intelligent people in our class. Like, you have to be genuinely fucking retarded to end up at Kotaku writing articles about assassinating politicians in Minecraft. What is wrong with you? Grow the fuck up. Alright, you guys want to wrap?
Yeah, we should wrap. I'm hungry.
Okay. I'm also hungry.
Alrighty, thank you, chat, and thank you everyone listening for joining us for this official podcast episode. bonus episodes over at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. A lot of cool stuff over there. I'm putting up an episode of a watch along with Kai and I. We just watched Obi-Wan Kenobi, the first episode. That's going up soon. Yeah, thanks for watching.
I don't want to finish that. We also play Fall Guys now.
Nice.
See you guys. Thanks for watching.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.